Compassion isn't always soft. Sometimes it's very firm, very tough. It's a real strength to it, that real commitment, that courage, that sense of, taking action. Do you have your own back? And clearly, I mean, if you think about it, it seems so obvious, but if you have your own back, you're going to be stronger than if you're cutting yourself down and criticizing yourself and shaming yourself.
Hi, I'm Deborah Rosman, and a warm welcome to our listeners. Each month for the At Heart podcast, I have the privilege of interviewing individuals who are contributing to the creation of a more heart-based world. This month, I'm talking with Dr. Kristen Neff, co-author of a recent and timely book, Mindful Self-Compassion for Burnout: Tools to Help You Heal and Recharge When You're Wrung Out by Stress. Oh, so many people are wrung out by stress these days. Dr. Neff is one of the leading academic researchers on self-compassion and why it's so important for our health and well-being. And I've so admired her work and the influence she's had helping people learn how to practice self-compassion. And given the rising levels of stress in the world that affect us all, we could all benefit from increasing our self-compassion, especially when we can't see solutions or feel we can't handle it all. So welcome, Kristen.
Thanks so much for having me here, Debbie. Really appreciate it.
You know, so many people find it hard to have self-compassion. They think it's narcissistic or self-centered or self-pity. In your book, you talk about how self-compassion changes the way you deal with distress and burnout, so you stop avoiding it or beating yourself up for it or judging yourself as somehow deficient because you can't do it all. But you have to lift yourself out of all that to have real relief or self-compassion, where it doesn't just drain into pity and feeling sorry for yourself. Can you explain how self-compassion can lift you above all that?
Yeah, well, so when people think of self-compassion, they usually just think of the warmth component, the care component. But there's actually two other elements to compassion, which is what makes it something that doesn't devolve into self-pity. One is mindfulness, right? We need to have some mindful awareness of what's going on, the fact that we're hurting, but do it in a way that so we aren't ignoring the pain. We can't give ourselves compassion if we don't even acknowledge that we're in harm's way or hurting in some way. But on the other hand, if we dive into it, if we become over-identified with it, if we kind of get lost in the drama, then that's not healthy either. So we need some mindful awareness around the fact that we're struggling. And of course, we need the warmth and this desire to care. But also really important, which is something that people don't talk a lot about, but I think it's so key, it's a sense of connectedness to others, right? So often we feel like we're all alone. We feel like there's something wrong with us or we're abnormal for what we're going through. So when we remember, hey, this is part of the human condition. Everyone's imperfect. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone struggles. You know, it's like this is actually what connects us to other people, not what separates from other people. That separates us from other people. So self-pity is woe is me, poor me. Self-compassion is, hey, this is what it's like to be a human being. And once you make that, you broaden the sense of separate self, it really strengthens us.
Wow, that's such an important distinction. You know, we look at things in our research from vibration, you know, just like what is uplifting, what lifts you, and what depletes you, you know, depletion versus renewal, uh-huh, is a way that you can kind of tell where you're at and how then use some kind of tool to be able to turn that around. You know, we call getting heart coherence so that you're in another frequency, really. And, yeah, you know, it's the core components that you talk about, like mindfulness, common humanity, and kindness. Let's not forget that, because that's a heart feeling. Yes, it's warm, but it's also an accepting feeling.
Yes.
It's so important when we have emotional awareness or awareness of what's going on to also have acceptance of what we're feeling. Because you can't do anything about it. It's just resistance and fight until you can accept it. And that's not just a mental comment, concept.
Yeah, that's right. When we just, so we accept ourselves as well as our emotions. And what you said about turning around, when I notice when reading your stuff, is very similar. So often we start out with self-compassion by people having people imagine, well, what would you say to a good friend who is in the yeah. same situation? And I think probably from your point of view, which is just another way of slicing up the pie, when you're getting into heart coherence, when you think about, when you have compassion for another, even in your imagination, and then you do this U-turn. And then you just go ahead and include yourself in the circle of compassion. So you kind of get the ball rolling, so to speak. And then you tuck yourself in. And we find that absolutely is very effective when we teach people how to be self-compassionate.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, so often I found for myself, but also when I teach others, first having compassion for the world, like sending hard energy to the people suffering in Gaza, for example, that's an example, opens the heart
yeah.
so that you can have that pure, genuine feeling and then have compassion for yourself or whatever you're going through, can kind of keep that clean feeling rather than have it dip.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I'm sure I don't need to explain this to you, but the issue when we're suffering is we feel threatened. And as we go into sympathetic nervous system reactivity and fight, flight, or freeze, and it's very hard to keep that coherence or that sense of calm and peace when we feel personally threatened. And, you know, we don't feel so personally threatened when other people are hurting or our best friend is hurting. Right. And so that's why we kind of do this little, it's almost like I call it a hack, but, you know, for me, it's not really a hack. You're just getting yourself into that vibrational level, you can call it, or that state of more parasympathetic nervous system response, and then you include yourself.
Right. Of course, that's what the heart coherence technology is helping people do, and the techniques, because that way you're getting the parasympathetic activated,
exactly,
and synchronizing the sympathetic and parasympathetic into that coherent waveform. And that gives you the leg up so that you can begin to really feel the genuine heart feeling of compassion.
Yeah. So I've always called it a hack, but if you think about it, you figured a device in a way to actually have that hack even be more effective and have some real-time feedback, which is just very cool. We talked before about the fact that our work is so overlapping, yet we haven't really had much dialogue, but we're both going to the exact same place, just using slightly different methods, but, you know.
Absolutely. And that's what's so fun about coming together, because the world needs all of us to work
yes.
together with whatever's the best practices. Everyone
right.
is going through such stress these days, you know, the
yeah.
common humanity you talk about too. You
yeah.
know, it's like part of that is we need to cut ourselves and each other some slack, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And the pressure to get it right and to be perfect, and which is just exacerbated by social media. And, you know, there's just so much to do
yeah.
and so much we want to achieve. But the interesting thing is what we find what I find in my research is that when you give yourself a break, you actually achieve more, not less, right? What we find is that we're more likely to achieve our goals when we're approaching them out of encouragement, as opposed to you better achieve or else I'll hurt you forever. I mean, that kind of fear, when you add in the fear, you better get it right or else, that actually undermines your performance, because partly, again, through the physiology, it activates sympathetic nervous system and you aren't as effective in your decision-making, for instance. And so, for instance, we taught athletes how to be self-compassionate about mistakes in their training routine or their games, and they actually improved their athletic performance as opposed to the normal way of doing it, which is just beating themselves up. So it doesn't undermine your performance. Taking a break actually helps, except when it doesn't. So if you take a break to the point where it's self-indulgent, then it's no longer compassionate.
Right.
That's why we need the mindfulness to tell the difference. Am I just fooling myself? Well, how do you know? The answer is really easy. Is it helping me or harming me?
Right.
You
exactly.
know?
Is it? It's just like we talk about care and overcare. Is the care regenerating and nurturing, or is it draining? Is it stress producing? And that's something you can ask yourself, is my care or compassion stress reducing or stress producing? And that's a signal to come back to balance. You know, again, that's what your tools and the HeartMath tools are all designed to do, to help people come back and reboot, reset to that balanced state, and then move forward from there. And, you know, we talked about being kind to ourselves and kind to each other. That's a heart texture, a heart attitude that nurtures and soothes.
Yes.
And self-soothing is almost foreign to how a lot of us were brought up, like you're talking about, and thinking somehow that being self-critical and self-beating is going to advance us, where it doesn't. And so often, like yourself, when we do programs for companies or for the military, you know, for first responders, for law enforcement we work with, it has to be the research first. Here's the research showing you why you should shift to your heart and get your heart and brain in sync for higher performance. Here's why you should activate a heart quality like kindness or appreciation or compassion, because it actually activates your higher brain centers so you're more capable. And it's just amazing that in our culture, it's been so the opposite. And of course, you can see the play out in it in society.
Yeah, but I do think, you know, I always tell people, don't beat yourself up for beating yourself up. I mean, the culture hasn't cultivated it, but I do think there are physiological reasons, because the human brain evolved when it sees a problem or a threat to go into sympathetic nervous system, fight, flight, or freeze. And so we've got this negativity bias, right, in our brain. So I think it's natural that we do that, that we tend to immediately go into problem-solving modes. We try to solve the problem of ourselves, and we just do it through these, like, fighting kind of reactive methods. It used to be, actually, sometimes we'd even think that with our children, spare the rod, spoil the child. And now I think most people kind of realize encouragement, support is more effective with children. But it's not totally natural with ourselves. The good news is, as you know, it only takes a few seconds. There's a research study showing 20 seconds of putting your hand on your heart and kind of saying a few encouraging things to yourself is all you need. You know, we aren't talking about having to sit in meditation for 30 minutes.
Exactly right. What do we do in the moment?
Yes.
When we have that stress reaction and catching it, that's what it works. That's what works. That's the whole HeartMath system is built on what we can do in the moment to shift and connect with the heart, because stress builds up when the mind is active and running one way, the heart another, and our emotions get all entangled up in that. That creates chaos. And the quickest shift we've seen is, like you example, put your hand in your heart and breathe through your heart, or get into true heart rhythm biofeedback that synchronizes your heart and brain, which actually releases the negative mind talk, because now the mind and heart and emotions are in sync. And so that lifts your emotional vibration and lifts your perception above the issue, which is key to reducing overwhelm and burnout. You need a new perspective.
Yeah, that's right. And so if you think of that trigger of the stress, that trigger that says, there's a problem, watch out, pay attention.
Yeah.
It's really only meant, you know, to last a few moments. Of course, the human, you know, the human brain, then we develop this cognitive system and these big prefrontal cortexes, which therefore then we identify with the stress. We start having thoughts like, I'm not good enough. And we start imagining what might happen in the future. And something that was supposed to be just a momentary pay attention becomes the place we live. And so anything we can do to shift out of that, you know, sometimes we say drop out of your head into your body. It's so effective at kind of letting go of all that rumination and worry and anxiety and just, well, what is actually happening right now? And can I be with myself as I go through this moment of difficulty?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, we do a lot of work with hospital nurses, you know, in the Kaiser and the Dignity Systems and others. And just the realization that happens when they go, oh, it's my overcare that's stress producing and draining and leading to burnout, and sometimes called compassion fatigue, which I think is a misnomer, because true compassion is uplifting, it's regenerating, it's not
that's
fatiguing.
Right.
But when the mind's worry takes over and the anxiety and the how am I doing and pushing myself more than balance, that's when it all gets a sort of downward association, compassion fatigue. Or
yeah, well, so there's actually a movement in psychology that we're calling it empathy, not compassion, that's fatiguing. Mm. So when you're resonating with the pain of others, which of course you do if you're a nurse, and you're probably also sensitive if you're in the healthcare field, then you're empathically resonating with other people's pain. I mean, in addition to worry about trying to help them. So there's that, but just empathic resonance in and of itself can be draining unless you give yourself compassion for the empathic pain you're feeling. So you give compassion to the person who's experiencing the pain, but you also give yourself compassion for your empathic pain. We actually teach an exercise where you breathe out for the patient to breathe in for yourself. So the compassion's flowing back and forth. And I know there's a lot of studies showing that self-compassion puts you into heart rate clearance. So I'm sure if
yeah, I know you're
one of your little sensors, it would show that it's doing it. And it really makes a difference. But yeah, there's some really interesting work by Tanya Singer. She's done brain scans of people on empathy versus people on compassion. And it looks very different in the brain.
I'm sure it does. Sometimes we call it in our book, Heart Intelligence, a chapter by our founder, Doc Childre, talks about unmanaged empathy. It's the heart feeling, but we let the mind take over, and the resonance, like you're talking about, the over-identification.
Yes.
You know, you to regain balanced care, we have to sometimes give ourselves a meaningful bottom line. And I liked your expression when you talked about the two faces of self-compassion, tender and fierce.
Yes.
What are some examples of fierce?
Yeah, so the tender self-compassion is about acceptance, basically accepting ourselves as flawed human beings and also accepting our emotions and the fact that we can't control everything. But part of self-compassion is taking action, for instance, saying no, drawing boundaries, protecting ourselves, motivating change, meeting our own needs. So there's a lot of, if we have too much tender self-compassion and we don't take enough action, we might become complacent. And that's no longer compassionate. On the other hand, if we're like our culture is all about do, action, 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 achieve. And then there's no acceptance. That's, of course, not healthy either. We need the yin and yang balance between the two. And so learning, you kind of have to ask yourself, well, what do I need right now? Maybe I need acceptance. Maybe I need action. Maybe often the answer is I need both. I need to accept myself as I'm taking action. But it's kind of an underappreciated aspect of care is taking action to protect yourself. Again, drawing boundaries. As you say, for caregivers especially, if you just give yourself away, you're no good to anyone. So learning how to say no, how to meet your own needs and those of others simultaneously is just really key. Actually, one of the things I talk about in my book is anger can even be helpful when it's targeted, when it's not targeted at people, when it's not dehumanizing, but when it comes from love, like mama bear anger, like protection. Like when you can even be angry about, that kind of rush of no, that's not okay. But when it's not personal, it can actually be used in the service of protection. I don't know if you probably aren't in heart coherence in that moment, but maybe we don't have to be in heart coherence all the time. There are moments when we're really threatened, for instance. And anger can focus us on the threat. It can give us bravery. It can give us energy. But it's really a short-term thing, and it can't be aimed at people. It has to be aimed at stopping harmful behaviors or situations.
Yeah, and maybe we call something other than anger because it's the frequency. It's the feeling of taking charge, feeling of giving up a bottom line, or what we call business heart. The heart isn't just the feminine qualities. It's also, when we work with the military, it's also that patriotism, that respect, that passion for what you're doing and what you're calling that type of courage. And all of those are also—
Courage, bravery, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All aspects of the heart.
Yeah.
It's male and female.
Yes.
Makes up who we are as an integral human being.
The problem, of course, is gender role socialization, right? Unfortunately, people who raise as boys aren't allowed to be in touch with their tender side, and people raised as girls aren't, you know, encouraged to get in touch with their fierce side.
Right.
When these are things like the Chinese philosophers got it right, yin and yang, we need both. And unfortunately, sometimes society gets in the way of us being integrated full people.
Well, that's why what you're doing, what we're doing, the research, the tools to actualize that, it takes practice,
yeah,
but it's giving hope because it's how the human operating system works.
Yes,
so exactly. many people. And I just thought it was really fascinating, since we work with the military and you mentioned the research, the military found that heart feelings like compassion and kindness, which create nervous system regulation and coherence, actually help the deregulated nervous system. So the soldiers who are compassionate to themselves after returning to civilian life were less likely to develop PTSD or abuse alcohol.
Yes.
The amount of compassion, you said, that they gave themselves was a stronger predictor of whether they developed PTSD than how much of the negative experiences they saw. That was fascinating. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, we found that with military soldiers. Also, I did a study with some autism parents that the amount of self-compassion they gave themselves was more important a predictor of their stress level than how severe their child's autism was. So again and again, it's like less important what's happening and more important how are you relating to what's happening? Do you have your own back? And clearly, I mean, if you think about it, it seems so obvious, but if you have your own back, you're going to be stronger than if you're cutting yourself down and criticizing yourself and shaming yourself. That's not going to make you stronger. It's like kind of obvious, but we think of, you know, the criticism is like tough as nails and, you know, a lot of it, this is why I like the idea of fierce self-compassion, because compassion isn't always soft. Sometimes it's very firm, very tough. I was like, I got you. I'm not letting go. It's not like, oh, squishy. It's like, no, I got your back. I got this. I got you. I'm here for you. It's a real strength to it, that real commitment, that courage, that sense of, taking action.
Yeah.
Is a really important aspect of compassion.
Absolutely. Well, I love what you're saying. What else? What are you seeing these days? The world is so crazy, as we all know. Stress levels are going up. People are uncertain. They don't know what's going to happen. They're scared. And self-compassion is important. Compassion for each other. We call it compassionate latitude. Everyone's doing the best they can from where they're coming from.
Yeah, from where they're coming from. Yeah.
What else do you see in this?
But I just do think, so life has always been difficult, you know, but it does feel like things are happening at a quicker pace. And then you added things like climate change, and it just keeps on coming fast and furious. And it's so important that we practice self-compassion. You know, in some ways, I think compassion for others obviously is very, very important as well, but it's kind of, if you are full of like hate or resentment or all these feelings of insecurity, you are not going to be able to have compassion for your out-group. So it's actually not that hard to have compassion for your in-group, but it's very hard to have compassion for your out-group. So you really need to have compassion for yourself to get yourself in the state of mind where you actually can see, I guess they're human too, even though I don't agree with them. You know, so you can extend the compassion out and see yourself as part of the larger whole. But there are so many pressures. The thing that it's really kind of a wild card in here is the whole thing of social media, especially for young people. You know, the work being done about how that's changing people's ability even to pay attention because of the constant like dopamine hits of the constant input of information. How can you be in your heart when your brain is just fried by scrolling on social media, for instance? You know, I don't have the answer to that, but it is a little frightening. And why we really need to pay attention to, sometimes I think of it as being lost in our thought bubbles. You know, so we're just like in these bubbles of thought, like it was virtual reality, and that virtual reality is exacerbated by the social media and the informational bubbles. And if we're just lost in our thoughts and we can't go down to our heart, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, hate to say it, but it's real.
Well, that's where you and I and everyone who knows that, we're just called to on a mission to help people, you know.
Yeah.
Well, let's do a heart meditation with everybody on self-compassion. Let's add some of that soothing heart quality and firmness to our self.
Okay.
Let's focus our attention in the heart. Breathe a little slower, a little deeper through the area of the heart. And as you breathe in the attitude, the feelings of love and compassion. And as you breathe out, just radiate those heart qualities into your mental, emotional, and physical systems. As you breathe this love and compassion into your system, see your heart, mind, body, and spirit aligning in harmony and coherence. Doing this actually creates an energetic conduit for your heart's intuitive guidance and love to move through you and your day-to-day interactions. Now, pick an area of your life. Mental, emotional, physical, at home, at work, your reactions to what's happening in the world, anything that's causing you stress and needs more self-compassion and renewal. Pick one area. Could be health, could be a relationship. And as you continue that heart breathing, ask for your heart's guidance and facilitation. Do this from your heart, like you're interacting with a best friend that truly cares and understands. Now quietly sense any suggestions from your heart's guidance and make a commitment to follow through on that prompting. Now let's take a moment and radiate the collective compassion of all of us to all the people suffering from wars, trauma, famine, natural disasters, and other major stressors on the planet that draw our heart's care, that amplifies our heart's compassion. Now let's close by co-creating a reservoir of compassionate heart energy that each of us can tap into over the next month whenever we need a lift in spirit or support in practicing self-compassion or in following our heart's guidance. I've had numerous people tell me these reservoirs we create with each podcast have really helped them when they've needed it. Okay, thank you so much for sharing that with me. Kristen, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, well, so if anyone would like to learn more about self-compassion, if you just Google self-compassion or go to selfcompassion.org on my website, I've got a ton of research. There are videos, a lot of free guided practices and exercises. So it's a good place to start if you want to know about self-compassion, and it complements so beautifully all the heart math stuff. They really go together. They're like sisters, long lost sisters.
Well, thank you so much. It's just been wonderful connecting with you here. And as a free gift to our listeners, I want to remind you that you can watch the interactive online video course, The Heart Math Experience. It has 5 heart math techniques. It's available on our websites. And if you haven't done so already, check out the new Heart Math app with the camera sensor that can measure your heart coherence at the App Store or Google Play stores. And I want to remind you that the third Tuesday of every month, we publish a new episode. So be sure to subscribe to the At Heart podcast so you don't miss our next guest and topic. Take care and really have compassion for yourself. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the At Heart podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you can catch the latest episodes. If you're wanting even more heart-inspired content, find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Look for Heart Math and also the Heart Math Institute. Both organizations are committed to helping activate the heart of humanity.